Speak to us, our gracious God, your living word. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Christ is risen. Risen indeed. A week ago, we celebrated the resurrection, the extraordinary victory of Jesus over death. The question, however, remains, has Easter made any difference in our lives? Or will our lives remain the same as it has always been? In the gospel reading, we meet the four disciples gathered together in a familiar room. They had been in that very room a few days before, sharing a meal with Jesus. And in the course of that meal, Jesus astonished them by rising from the table and taking up a towel and a basin of water and kneeling to wash their feet. John narrates in our reading today how our Lord appeared to the disciples in that familiar room. A week later, after the disciples had shared with Thomas that they had seen the risen Lord, and I would like to pause here to say, we need to have our personal experience of seeing the Lord to be able to share the same with others. They said to Thomas, we've seen the Lord. We need to have personal experience and not just depending on the experiences of our fathers and the testimony of others. We need to have our own personal testimony of our encounter with Jesus. It is really important going forward. Thomas did not believe. I'm not going to dwell on that today. And so Jesus again appears to the disciples, revealing to Thomas the proof he wanted to see before believing. Because what Jesus does is that he does not cast us away. He works with us, growing our experiences and our revelation of him. Now, one would have expected a great party to break out at the announcement that Jesus is alive, as was announced during that first Easter Sunday. You would have also thought that the disciples would have run out with drums, with trumpets, and shouting, "He's risen! He's risen!" But that was not the case. Instead, we meet them gathered together in that familiar room with the doors shut and locked out of fear. They ran into the room and locked out themselves. They are afraid of everything on the other side, afraid of the forces that had killed Jesus, afraid of the world outside, afraid of their uncertain future, afraid of their lives. They had raised questions, perhaps, God, where are you? Are we safe? Will we be safe from our enemies? If they crucified our master, how much less us? So they were so afraid. It is not hard for us to imagine ourselves in that room as individuals sitting here in the congregation and those listening to us through the CD. We, like the four disciples, often lock ourselves in and the world out when we are threatened or wounded or grieving. There's a possibility to lock ourselves in. Sometimes we even make the church into a shut door room. We gather with people like us and close the door to the stranger. And so in some congregations, if they come in and they see a strange face, they're like, oh, stranger. They don't just feel it, they say it out to the hearing of the visitor. That makes it even more uncomfortable. We could as well as a church shut ourselves, shut the doors, and lock ourselves in the room by clinging to familiar patterns, afraid to step out of the boat, trying only to speak to people who look like us, who speak like us, who think like us. But Jesus came to break down those barriers. In addition to fear of their lives, the disciples may well have feared that they had made a fool of themselves. especially in the light of the fact that the common belief at the time was that the Messiah would free Israel from the Roman occupation. Yet Jesus died on a Roman cross. And with his death, it was thought that the end had come. The expectation of the disciples and those who followed him had been brought to nothing. So the fulfillment of that promise was considered to have been dashed into pieces. In fact, the disciples had invested so much of their energy, their time, their life, their effort to following Jesus, trusting that he will lead them to a new life. And there they were in that room thinking, oh no, he has disappointed us. They felt disappointed that he did not walk himself through the victory in a way they had expected him to do so. But regardless of the reason, those first disciples were together behind locked doors in fear. And regardless of the fears we might have in our own life as young people, as adults, fear can be crippling. Fear can keep us from entering God's future with hope. Fear can make us lose the joy of the present because we are so captured by fears of what lies ahead. But God wants us to make the most of today to enjoy the blessings he is giving us even now. Fears can cripple us. Fear can make us even afraid of our shadow. Fear has timidity. Each of us have our fears. Fears about our health, fears about family, fears about our education, fears about employment, fears about exams, fears about so many things we may not even mention here. And so we have our fears. And perhaps you are sitting here this morning and you have your fears. We all have our fears. The disciples had their fears. But the message this morning is that regardless of what might be the reason of our fears, the risen Lord is able to break through our fears and offer us a new life. It doesn't matter the height. It doesn't matter the size of your fear. The message is that the risen Lord has the capacity, he has the power to break through our fears and give us hope. And that is what we celebrate during Easter. Paul's circumstances changed between the time of writing of first epistle to Timothy and second Timothy. In the first letter, Paul was anticipating coming to see Timothy. And as we read in our text, Timothy's faith was connected to the grandmother. The grandmother transferred or transmitted the same faith to the mother of Timothy. And so as grandparents, as aunties, we have a huge role when it comes to communicating faith to our children, to our grandchildren, to our great-grandchildren. We have a role. In fact, it is written that it takes a village to raise a child. Even though the concept of village has largely changed in the face of modernity, but it does not take away the fact that different persons have different roles to play in the life of the upbringing of children. In our congregation, we each have a role to play in encouraging our young people, our children, to imbibe godliness, imbibe God's love, and to give out the same to their friends. It is not clear what Timothy was afraid of, as we read in verse 7. Perhaps Timothy was afraid of difficult situations in the congregation. He was also afraid of Paul's uncertainties. He was afraid that, oh no, my master might not be freed from the prison. It doesn't matter what circumstances were or the nature of Timothy's fear, but here's what God has given to Timothy and what God also gives to us. The spirit of power, of love, and sound mind. The spirit of power, love, and sound mind. That's what God has given us. In the face of our fears, in the face of our difficulties, in the face of our locked room, inside our locked room, God has given us, through his Son, the spirit of power, of love, and sound mind. Power, which is the enabling for the task. Whatever it is, whether it is exam, whatever it is that is facing you, God gives you the enabling grace to accomplish task. He gives us love, the attitude with which we serve, and sound mind, the discernment of how best to do it. So as believers, as God's people, we can be certain that God has not called us to a task for which he has not equipped us. Because the one that God calls, he equips. Whatever it is that is before you today, you can be assured that God has already gone ahead of you. And the power to accomplish those tasks are right inside of you. And so you do not approach the exams with fear. You approach the exams with courage, with power, and with sound mind, knowing that you are able, and through God, you are able to do much more than you can ever think or imagine. Last Sunday, some of you saw the picture where we had to climb up to the top of Tinto. And the girls would have also remembered that some time ago, last 2 years, I tried it, and I went halfway. And Moira and I stayed halfway, and we raised our hands. Now, it was quite deceptive because people saw the picture through in the large hall, and they thought I was right there at the top. But we only made it halfway, and we couldn't continue. But last 2 weeks, we determined to go to the top. It felt really good to get to the top and embrace that Tinto symbol there. And somebody called me Tinto Conqueror. I have conquered Tinto. We have the ability, the strength in us. Those things that we are afraid of, God has given us the ability to conquer. Jesus comes to us as Jesus came to those first disciples. Unhindered by the worlds we build around ourselves to keep others away and ourselves safe. Unstopped by the doors we lock out of anger or anxiety, Jesus sent his fearful disciples into the very world they were afraid of, saying, "As the Father has sent me, now I send you." So Jesus was saying, "I send you to that world you are afraid of." And he says, "I am with you even till the end of the age." Jesus is sending us today. He is breathing into us the deep peace of the Holy Spirit. He frees us. He gives us forgiveness so that we might as well forgive others who have offended us. Jesus comes as Jesus came to the disciples on that first Easter Sunday. He comes to us when we are full of doubt and disbelief, as Thomas was. He does not push us away, but bids us draw closer to him, to know his suffering and to receive his peace. So our risen Lord comes to us this morning afresh and empowers us to reach out beyond the doors of our congregation, to spread the news of resurrection to our friends, our neighbors. Christ sends us out of our safe and familiar rooms with towels and basins to bend our knees as servant friends, to serve our friends and our neighbors. In fact, this is the heartbeat. To serve our betrayers and our enemies. And that is the heartbeat here. It cannot be the gospel until we are able, in love, to serve those who despise us, who persecute us. Jesus served Judas Iscariot. He served Peter, who later denied him. Yes, this might be fearful to many of us, and it is supposed to be fearful. Yet the risen Christ has given us the power of God's Spirit to overcome our fears. So today, as we leave the worship, let us live empowered, full of grace, to confront our fears. Amen.